Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday contemplative worship service. Thank you for your presence here tonight. It's good to see each of you. And from this sacred space to your sacred space, wherever you are, whenever you might be watching, we send the love of God to you and receive back your well wishes. Tonight we'll be hearing a psalm that reminds us of the different types of prayer, especially in a world that may look like it's coming apart, or a personal world that's coming apart. Prayer becomes a beautiful solution for dealing with the situations we experience on this planet. Let's take a moment and invite the Spirit to be our guide and presence tonight, and to wish for what we need to hear tonight, that it would bless each of us, and through the hearing would change the doing and bless those in the world that we relate with. May it be so. We begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Now, let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes. The reading is from Psalm 5. To the leader for the flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my sighing. Listen to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead my case to you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil will not sojourn with you. The boastful will not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouths. Their hearts are destruction. Their throats are open graves. They flatter with their tongues. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of their many transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, so that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
The Psalms of David represent a very particular expression of human consciousness. And it's very important to recognize that as we hear the Psalms, they are coming from a particular place of consciousness, a place of understanding God and understanding one's relationship to and with God in a very particular way. I can say this with authority by way of experience because that was the case for me. I could show you 25 journals full of these kinds of prayers that I wrote for a very long period of time, over a period of 20 years. This kind of thinking about God, the kind of prayer we just heard, of asking God to do things for me, asking God to watch out, to protect me, declaring things to be true, declaring things to be false, asking God for favor, protecting me from harm, danger, and evil. On the one hand, you might think of it as being very dualistic, this good versus evil. But if we begin to see the inner nature of these psalms, really what this psalmist is saying is, protect me from going down that way. If you recall, we began looking at the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1 begins with the option that human beings have of these two different ways. And I suppose there's millions of different ways, but they boil down to these two different ways. And on this plane, there is certain dualities that we can't erase. Male and female, up and down, left and right, north and south, this sort of thing. And so to begin to see that these polarities between these two ways is a real factor in our lives. And we can begin to see it very clearly in relationships. So, for example, you can see how the way of goodness, love, beauty, truth shows up when you relate to another human person. And you can see the way of hatred, evil, cursing, anger, despair shows up in relating to another person. It works the same way on the spiritual level for many of us. And the invitation is for us to begin to see in ourselves these things that need to be healed, these parts of ourselves that do turn against love and light and life and do turn inward and, as it were, self-destruct. So the real invitation here isn't so much to avoid being that particular way. The thing I want to focus on is the invitation of how David prays in the midst of that possibility of going down that way himself. He knows. And he's not just saying those are the evil ones. He's saying that evil way exists and keep me from it. And the way in which I'm going to be kept from that way is by giving my heart to God in prayer. And he does so in four different ways. And we'll talk about them in just a second. I want to just pause and give a little wider context for the application of these types of psalms. There are different types of psalms, but there's a beautiful reason for us to turn to them these days more than ever. So here's the application. If you look around at what is occurring in the world today, and people ask all the time, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond to these multitude of situations? Now, the world may not be any worse or better than it's ever been off. It's just, it seems to me, much more intensified, and we know about it. But we know about what's going on all around the world almost instantly. So there's an intensification and there's an expansion of knowledge of what's going on in the world. 100 years ago, you wouldn't know that there were forest fires burning the West until weeks later, until the telegraph came to you or whatever. But now we know it instantly, and the news feeds update us. So in a context like we live in today, people often ask me, well, what do contemplatives say? What are you going to do about it? What about all these things? And I'll just give you a list. What about all the diseases and the potential diseases that could take humankind down? What about the drought? What about all the climate change? What about all the too little water that's happening in places? And then all the flooding, the too much water. What about all that? What's happening with the ice sheets? What's happening with the social upheaval and the changes that we feel in our culture and our society and on our globe? What's happening with all the political simmerings on our planet and in our nation? What about all the upheaval and the change and the movement of towards social justice and race and gender and sexuality? What about all these issues that we deal with as a culture that are in front of us all the time, causing great strain and stress in many people's life? People give our attention to those sorts of things because they're very compelling and they call to us. But the reality is, what can you do about any one of those things? What can I do about any one of those things? I'm sure there are specific action points that we could each take to reduce strains and stresses on the environment, to bring about more just and equitable life on this planet. And we can all do that in our own little ways, in our own little lives. But the main thing that a church like this can do is remind people of the vocation of prayer. Like the poet Rumi said, I close both eyes and I see with one eye. I close both eyes and I see with one eye. And it changes the way we see. Prayer changes our perception of reality, of ourself, of our relationships. It really is the solution so much of the time for what we can do by answering that question, what can I do about what's going on? Well, here are four different types of prayer that we can do in the midst of a world that is like ours. And a world like ours is actually 1,000 times better than any other world there's ever been. I would much rather live today than any other point in human history. The amount of suffering on this planet before the invention of electricity was massive. The amount of suffering on this planet, the amount of death rates at birth for women and children, infants, was very, very high by a factor of significant hundredfold. And today we live in great luxury and peace for the most part. So this isn't a time to be complaining. This is a time to be giving thanks in many, many, many ways. But here are the four different ways in which David models for us prayer. And this isn't new for us as a contemplative community. Father Thomas Keating talks about this in a very similar way, using the language of the deepening relationship, from moving from acquaintanceship to friendship to intimacy. But here's how the psalmist describes it. First of all, he says, hear, O Lord, my words. Hear my words. Second, he says, consider my inner thoughts or my sighing. could be translated other way, different way. Consider my inner thoughts, or consider my sighing. Third, listen to my crying. And in the morning, then, I will be silent and still, watching and waiting. So these first three aspects of the prayer really are representing the three centers, the mind, the emotions, and the body. Hear my words. This is the petitionary kinds of prayer, where we use our intellect to pray for ourselves and other people very, very specifically. And if you don't have a petitionary prayer practice, this is a good time to have one. And the church sends out petitionary prayers every week. We have an intercessory prayer thing that we do every Sunday morning after the Lectio service around 9 o'clock. We have a list of people that we pray for very specifically, and we use specific words to pray for them, praying for favor or for healing, favor for financial blessing or flow, favor for guidance or protection, all sorts of different things. We specifically pray using specific words and using our intellectual center to request things of God, to literally ask God to hear our words from our intellectual center. And many people who have a meditative prayer practice, a centering prayer practice, or other kind of meditative wordless prayer practice, or if you have one word, that focusing prayer that is centering prayer, we return to the sacred word whenever we notice we're engaged with our thoughts. That's really not praying with words. That is a type of prayer with words, using one word, but it really is a movement into the total silence. Centering prayer is a method designed to lead to contemplation, where the word drops away for longer periods of time, or sometimes even altogether in some cases. But if you have that meditative prayer practice, it oftentimes, as I've interacted with people, I've discovered that many people keep their meditative prayer practice but drop their intercessory prayer for a period of time. And then once that meditative prayer practice really deepens, there's a hunger, there's an overflow that spills out, and it feeds into a desire to pray for others. I've seen this in many people's lives, where their meditative prayer practice births a deepening, passionate prayer life for other people. And that is intercessory prayer, using the intellectual center to pray and to ask God to hear these words that I am praying. The second level of prayer here is described when he says, heed or consider my sighing. This is what I think is the emotional center of the heart, where we are literally moving from intellectual words to sighs that aren't putting on any words. They may not even have much intellectual content to them, but there's a groaning of the spirit, as St. Paul talks about it, that this groaning of my spirit accords to the groaning of the Spirit of God in me and in creation. That there's a groaning nature to our prayer because there's not a righteous correspondence to reality. Reality is being fragmented and dissociated from God, and the evilness and the injustice and the horrors and the terrors of the situation on this planet are manifold to see. And so we sigh with this great groan. That type of prayer is very, very powerful. It's at the emotional level, and it's not understood by anyone except you and God. It may not even be consciously understood by you as you sigh, as you groan. Now, I know about this prayer in part because I had some exposure to it in praying in tongues when I was in college as a younger man. I was drawn to the charismatic churches for a period of time, because that high energy of the praying in tongues was kind of a groaning, and many of their churches would allow for the expression of these kind of sighing and groaning, very highly emotional expressions of prayer that no one understood. But it was doing something. It did something for people. It was cathartic. And I found that to be very useful. But the thing is, as I contrast that way of praying with meditative prayer, that type of high-intensity sighing, groaning, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is not sustainable in any kind of daily way. It's very hard to keep that up twice a day, much less daily, much less even weekly for some people. But meditative prayer brings you more slowly to a similar state of peace, bliss, oneness with God, and it's much more sustainable. But nevertheless, that emotional sighing isn't meant to be suppressed or kept away just because we are meditators. In other words, just because we're meditators doesn't mean that we lose touch with these other methods of prayer, other types of prayer, intercessory prayer, and that groaning, sighing prayer of the heart that's wordless and that's contentless, but that it gets the emotion out to God. And then the third level of prayer is what he calls, when he says, listen to my crying. Listen to my crying. And the word here for crying literally is this embodied nature of tears, of getting the body weeping. So if you've ever wept, you know, really wept, whether you're grieving or just experiencing sadness, I'm not talking about tears of joy. I'm talking about the belly emptying, howling kind of grief, sadness, anger, frustration, break openness that can happen when we weep, and only when we weep. And if you haven't wept in a while, it's one of God's sweetest gifts to be have the freedom and the sense of safety to weep. You can't conjure that up. The deepest groaning, weeping that I've experienced happened to me. I didn't do it for me. It just happens, like a cascading river overflowing. And anyway, this listening, listen to my crying. So you perhaps have had moments, some point in your life, where there was somewhere in between an intellectual prayer and emotional prayer. And this is the prayer of the body, the prayer of weeping. And in those moments where I have had prayers of weeping, there's been an in and out dynamic between thinking and speaking and just being lost in the sobbing. And it's one of God's greatest gifts, the gift of tears and the gift of crying. So here we have the intellectual prayer of the mind through intercession, the emotional prayer of the heart through sighing, or these deep sighs that are groans, this inner thoughts of groaning, and then the physical embodiment of asking God to listen to our crying. These are the three dimensions of prayer before the silence, and we should cultivate these in our lives for a full spectrum prayer life. And then he concludes these three forms of prayer that he ties together so nicely, and then he says, but morning by morning I wait in the stillness. By morning, every morning, I wait in the stillness. And this is really the invitation to moving into contemplative meditative prayer. But notice that it's in the morning, and notice that it's attended to with waiting and watching. Similar words used. That it's attending in the morning, and it's waiting and watching. And so this to me suggests that contemplative nature of silence, that after we have unloaded intellectually, after we have unloaded emotionally, and after we have unloaded physically, there's a stillness that comes over us, and that it naturally leads us into contemplation. And the higher gifts of stillness, which is kind of the old word for that, was hesychia, and watchfulness. Watchfulness for what the Spirit is doing within one's heart. And in many ways, he goes on later in the psalm, we'll come back to that next week, where he goes to the temple, and he's conscious that this prayer could be soiled by unrighteousness, and in particular, the sins of speech. And it's as if he's warning himself, I want to be orientated to the way of God, not the way of unrighteous, not the way of, listen to these words, the one of wickedness, the one of evil, the arrogant, the liars, the violent, those whose destruction is set on me, those whose throats are full of like tombs, whose tongues are full of smooth talk. That is the way he doesn't want to end up, and he wants to end up in the temple, praying and praising God daily. And so all of this leads us to this understanding that life in the Spirit is lived daily, morning and evening and throughout the day. We talked 2 weeks ago about morning prayer of Psalm 3. Last week, Psalm 4 was the evening prayer. And today with Psalm 5, we see this understanding of returning to the temple daily to pray. And the temple was a physical place that they would go to pray daily. But also the temple can become our heart and that sacred space we talked about on last Sunday that we can cultivate in our own home. So it's both the sanctuary, the church, the local church. It's both your sacred space at home and it's your sacred chamber, your heart. This is where we can go daily, morning and evening and throughout the day, living a life of prayer. And I think prayer is the solution for so many of the crises and difficulties and strains and stresses that we see occurring on this planet, in our culture, in our life. And if we can ground our lives in that rhythm of prayer and the full spectrum of prayer, we might find that God answers our prayers. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say. What is the Spirit speaking to you this evening? Open our hearts and our minds and our bodies to be beings of prayer in a world that wishes to change us and turn us against each other. We pray for the grace of prayer to be the glue that holds us together. Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember the truth, saying together, God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we bless our tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
And we take all the prayers of our hearts and lay them on the table as an offering to God and pray for mercy for all of life. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now. And that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words. It is you who is teaching us to pray.
that are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat this, all of you. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper had ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. From the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's creation here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you for your presence here tonight for worship. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us in prayer and in silence.